95 North, just after I-95 on the south end of town, an overnight construction project has the left lane still blocked. No other accidents or slowdowns on any of the other highways in the area. Partly cloudy today with a high of 92. It will be partly cloudy this evening with a low of 77. And currently it is 77 here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. With students ready to go back to school, some school districts are advocating shortening the school week to 4 days. The NFL preseason kicked off last night, but the NFL says its new policy on punishing players that take a knee during the national anthem will remain on hold. And Florida Democrats had their debate last night at Jacksonville University, claiming that Florida is on the wrong track.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
Why don't we have like 4 day work weeks with the radio show and just play a best of?
Oh, you know what? That's a great idea.
The problem is every day is a best school work week. So we're going to get into this discussion here in a little bit. Several states are doing it. So talk about could it happen here in Florida. That depends on the school district, by the way. Mm-hmm. So we'll get into all that in a little bit. Good morning. 6 minutes. Well, it's 6:03, 3 minutes after the top of the hour. Ed Dean here along with Roger Henderson on Talk Radio WBOB. So remember, Roger, we talked about the Republican debate that was at Jacksonville University. We were the only radio station allowed to kind of hang out and cover that with our partners at News4Jax.com, Kent Justice, who moderated the debate the Wednesday evening debate. Mm-hmm. Thursday evening then was the Democrats. Oh, boy. It was comedy hour. It was quite entertaining. Well, believe it or not, I did hang in the back row with the other media people. So anyways, that was the downfall. But folks, I want to play some of the clips of what they are saying. Remember the poll numbers. According to FAU, Quinpiniac, 60%, even a good chunk of Democrats, believe that Florida is moving into the right direction. Not if you listen to the Democrats. And they are openly now no longer for medical marijuana. It is now full-blown open legalization of marijuana. And yet, also the issue of stand your grounds. Listen to the first one here. They didn't really so much talk about that, but they talk about immigration and then how Florida doesn't really have a sanctuary city problem. And it kind of doesn't. It has the sanctuary counties. It's about 6 or 7. But he says all this, according to Philip Levine, former mayor of Miami-Dade, this is nothing more than a Republican ploy.
And I believe that the future of Florida is at risk. And it's at risk because of the fact that we have sea level rise that's rising. We have a minimum wage, it's way too low. But even greater than that, we're at risk by two words, Donald Trump and his mini-me, Rick DeSantis.
Rick DeSantis? Rick. Who's Rick DeSantis?
Yeah, I was wondering who that is, but he did correct himself later on and called him Ron DeSantis later on.
The mini-me. I didn't realize DeSantis had won the primary yet.
So we chose to do it. I believe the state of Florida needs to legalize marijuana. We need to regulate it. We need to tax it, which, you know, doesn't exist in Florida. What sanctuary?
Roger, this is the first time that they've really heavily advocated. Remember what we have said. We have been prophets on this radio show. We have told you when there's a movement by the left, sometimes there's a momentum to go further. The conventional wisdom is you try to transition thing after a few years. Mm-hmm. We told you after medical marijuana was passed, this was the Cheech and Chong attitude that we're going to go full blown, baby. Yeah. We want to look like the movie Up in Smoke, and now they're advocating it. No limit. Well, we want to regulate it. But they can't tell you how they want to regulate it. On the issue of sanctuary cities, the former mayor of Miami.
Sanctuary cities is basically a Republican ploy to divide us as Floridians. And this is wrong. Matter of fact, when the Speaker of the House previously went out.
Now, Richard Corcoran, who is the Speaker of the House, when he originally was going to run for governor, did this about Kate Steinle, the shooting that took place in San Francisco. Listen to what he says about the ad, about Corcoran's ad.
Matter of fact, when the Speaker of the House previously went out and ran that horrible, terrible ad, showing someone of dark skin literally trying to shoot or kill this other girl. It was terrible. We ran commercials condemning it immediately. My belief is this.
All right. First off, he's dead wrong. Go look at the ad on YouTube. It's a white guy.
Hmm.
It's a white guy. All right? But without sounding... I'm going to preface all this. The guy that shot Kate Steinle was darker skin. He was Hispanic. Okay?
Okay.
So this, the left is totally wrong in this thing about how they perceive that this has become, quote, an all-racial issue.
Tolerant state. We are a tolerant nation. We need to make sure that those dreamers absolutely have citizenship, And we also need to make sure that the 11 to 12 million undocumented folks that are living in our country have an opportunity and a pathway to citizenship. That's what America's about. That's what our state is about. And if I'm honored to be governor, we will have a tolerant state. And I think in Florida, we don't have that issue right now. As the mayor, former mayor of Miami Beach, Kent, we never had to do that. The bottom line is this, is that we need to enforce federal immigration laws.
Now, listen to this. This has been a big question among big city. And by the way, you know, down in South Florida, like even those guys are all, they're all run by Democrats, by the way. When the question comes around, what about enforcing federal policy from the federal government, whether you agree with it or not? He says, well, listen, on the situation of immigration, this is a federal government issue, not a local issue. He may be half right on this.
But they need to be enforced by the federal government. Because I ask you the same question. Do we want to start enforcing IRS laws? Do we want to start collecting federal immigration? We're not doing that. That's not what we're in business to do. Local governments need to do what local governments do best. The federal government needs to do what the federal government does. But do I believe we need fair federal immigration laws? Absolutely.
All right, so let me stop right there. Probably half right. Here's the thing. Obamacare came into power. Was voted on.
Mm-hmm.
It's a federal law, correct?
Yes.
Did you not have to abide by it as the mayor of Miami Beach for government employees? Yeah, you did.
Really?
Yeah. Now, IRS, he's totally correct on that. But the question is, again, I'm not saying you have to agree with the federal law. Some people don't. But when it comes to federal drug laws, you have to enforce them.
Yeah.
Hello. So again, it's where we pick and choose on some of this. Folks, I mean, I could sit here and play a montage. Here's Jeff Green, the billionaire, running. Ken Justice asked a question. The moderator from News4Jax.com. Well, listen, everything's about state issues, kind of like somewhat of the arguments against Ron DeSantis that he's not talking enough about state issues. The Democrats made everything on Thursday night's debate about President Trump. He says, well, aren't you guys going to talk about some state issues? Listen how Jeff Green, the Democrat, turned the issue around.
Just be brief on this, 30 seconds or less. How is that related to Florida issues? Because I think what we're hearing from people is, hey, I want to know these candidates. If they want to be my governor, I want to know that they're concerned with what happens in Florida.
Well, sure. Well, look, Donald Trump has talked about, you know, privatizing Medicare, privatizing Social Security.
No, he hasn't. Not at all.
Things that will really affect our seniors. Donald Trump just passed a tax cut with $1 trillion added to the deficit, which did nothing to help working Floridians. So Florida needs someone who can stand up for Floridians.
Actually, it was $1.5 trillion over 10 years, if the growth doesn't cover. But he passed it for, no, a lot of the small businesses. For those of you that they claim that Florida's moving on the wrong track, that companies coming in are low-term wages, then Amazon... In Orlando, Amazon and Jacksonville, those are low wages out there. The one to look out for is Gwen Graham. Here was her discussion on health care and accused of being a moderate.
My name is Gwen. We don't have another election to give in Florida. There is so much on the line. Our public education system, our environment, a woman's right to choose, having an economy that works for all Floridians. I'm the only candidate who has actually defeated a Republican in a Republican wave year.
She's exactly correct. And she is not all that liberal. She has been classified as a moderate.
That's really important. As you said, healthcare, $37.1 billion is our healthcare budget in Florida. We can reduce our costs by taking Medicaid expansion. We can reduce our costs by doing what I call...
That's not the moderate part. I'll get that in a moment.
A public option, which will allow any Floridian to buy into the same type of health insurance that our legislators get. We can reduce our costs by having a reinsurance market that will allow the most expensive plans to be reduced in cost.
Some say that.
Okay, so the reinsurance, I don't want to get deep in the weeds here about the reinsurance. Reinsurance is a decent thing to look at that would help save costs. We have that with life insurance and things of that nature. The Medicaid expansion, yes, were the federal government underneath Obamacare would pay 92% of the cost for the first, cover all the costs for the first 3 years. Then the state picks up 7 to 8. The problem is, the federal government doesn't reimburse the states like they should be.
Okay.
If you don't believe me, go look at some of the Medicaid funding out there. Look at some of the things that the government's supposed to pay for that they haven't paid for here in the state of Florida. So those costs, Roger, go, 7% after 3 years. The federal government doesn't pay for it. That means the state of Florida's number goes what? It goes up. Then the next year could be 10%. Oops, the federal government doesn't even have enough for Medicaid expansion. It could go up to 15%. It could cost billions of dollars to have the Medicaid expansion. This is the argument that Ken Justice said, well, your opponents claim that you're a moderate, Gwen Graham.
Your voting record in Congress as a double-edged sword, that you won a district that was Republican-leaning, as you mentioned, also considered to have voted across party lines sometimes, could show that you're more moderate to general election voters in November, but not always voting with President Obama. So maybe how would you characterize your policy positions when it comes to being a Democratic candidate for governor?
I voted with the Democrats over 80% of the time. But my commitment to everything that I do is to be fact-driven. So every vote that I cast, I was informed before I cast that vote. I was really disappointed when I watched some of my colleagues walk onto the House floor, take the whip sheet from the Republican side or the Democratic side, and vote straight party ballot. You know,
now, she said this in a very, very liberal crowd. She says if that's the case, you might want a bunch of robots. She voted against Nancy Pelosi for speaker. She voted for the Keystone XL pipeline. She voted in favor of limiting government regulation when it came to Dodd-Frank and Obamacare. She voted against the Iran nuclear deal. So I think, I mean, when she came out and said this in that crowd, and that crowd was a big Andrew Gilliam crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And he is way by far probably the more liberal of all the bunch.
He acknowledged it. Yeah.
Yeah. But he didn't like labels, but he likes being called a progressive. We'll get into all that. We got a lot more coming up. Roger, we've got your answer on how to fund the border wall. Ben Shapiro says, I'll challenge any Democrat like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. 10 grand if you can come around. New Mexico compound raided. Muslims training young kids to possibly future school shootings. We've got it all coming all today as we continue to move along right here on Talk Radio. 13 minutes after the hour, this is Talk Radio, WBOB.
And as we look on our highways this morning, no accidents or broken down cars on 95, 295 I-10 or Butler Boulevard this morning. Traffic is being brought to you by Snyder Heating and Air Conditioning.
When our health insurance renewal notice arrived last fall, my wife and I made the decision to drop our plan. With the monthly premiums and deductible, we'd have to pay $30,000 just to use it. So we did our homework and switched to MediShare. The cost savings are incredible, over $500 a month, and we don't have to pay for services we don't need or don't agree with. Then, out of the blue, she had to have emergency surgery. Scary stuff. $150,000 in hospital bills, and MediShare members took care of everything. All we paid was our small portion. I'm a doctor who's been in healthcare for 20 years, and this is one of the most impressive programs I've ever seen. Thank God she's fully recovered. And now we're telling everyone about MediShare.
Call 877-64-BIBLE to find out how much you can save on your healthcare. MediShare. Call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE.
With the temperatures rising, you'll want to make sure that your air conditioning system is working properly. That's why Snyder Air Conditioning should be your first call for your preventive maintenance needs. Why choose another air conditioning company when you can choose Snyder? You can count on Snyder to properly clean and check your system. There's a big difference between checking your system and cleaning your system. Cleaning your system will extend the life of your air conditioning unit and will also save you money on your electric bill. And right now, with 100% financing available with approved credit, there's never been a better time to upgrade your system. Snyder Air Conditioning is a family-owned Daikin Comfort Pro and can fix and service any make or model. Snyder Air Conditioning is Jacksonville's number one residential air conditioning company and has been serving Jacksonville for over 40 years. Snyder Air Conditioning. Call today at 641-0600. Snyder Mann and Daikin. License number CAC 181-3307.
August is Mixed Roses Month at Hewn Flowers. From now until August 15th, you can get one dozen long-lasting mixed roses for just $69.95 and get another dozen absolutely free. You can choose to put all 24 roses in one container or have them arranged as individual orders. This special sale is for phone orders and local delivery only. It's the Buy 12 and Get 24 Mixed Roses sale only at Hewn Flowers from now till August 15th. Hewn Flowers, making memories since 1947. Call 398-8601. That's 398-8601.
$299 a month for a late model car or SUV. $299 a month. Dream Wheels Auto Sales has late models for $299 a month.
No credit.
Bad credit.
No problem.
All credit applications accepted. $299 a month. Dream Wheels will get your loan done when others can't.
Got junk in the trunk?
Don't have it under your hood. Come to Dream Wheels on St. Augustine Road or check out our website, dreamwheelsjacks.com. dreamwheelsjacks.com.
Thank you.
Partly cloudy conditions for most of the day, high of 92 this evening, only about a 1 in 10 chance of rain, partly cloudy and a low of 77, and currently it is 77 here at WBOB.
Laura Ingram, next at 9. Now back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on Talk Radio AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. The NFL preseason kicked off last night, but the NFL says its new policy on punishing players that take a knee during the national anthem will remain on hold. Florida Democrats had their debate last night at Jacksonville University, claiming that Florida is on the wrong track. And with students ready to go back to school, some school districts are advocating shortening the school week to 4 days.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email Ed at WBOB.com.
More as we continue to move along, Ed Dean here along with Roger Henderson. We keep talking about funding the border wall. How is Mexico going to pay for it? There might be an answer. Sandra Smith from America's Newsroom.
Looking to help him get it done, introducing a bill that would take foreign aid from countries whose citizens come here illegally and put those funds toward the border wall. So this new bill, it aims to fund, build, and pay for the border wall. First of all, how do you fund this?
Okay, so that was the question to Arizona Congressman Andy Biggs. Listen to what he says, Roger. I know that you love talking about this when Trump says, I'm gonna make Mexico pay for it. Okay. Andy Biggs has three areas. Listen to this on how a border wall can be funded.
Well, there's three components in the bill, and hey, the smallest one is the reduction in foreign aid to nations whose citizens keep coming to our country illegally. That's about in the bill is $2,000 a head. But we also increased the I-94 fee, and that's the entrance fee to come to the U.S., which is $6 today. And we have that would be a significant component.
Hold on. There's the first one. We reduce the foreign aid to countries, like what you've asked, Roger, about where they do pretty much don't do anything to cover their own borders, and then allow them to come through here in this country. And then a couple of other areas. Here's another one about the remittance of payments that go back over the border to a lot of these countries.
And then the third thing is to impose a tax on the remittance payments that are going abroad. Like, for instance, to Mexico, they'll receive $25 to $30 billion this year alone in remittance payments right out of our economy going back home, and we don't impose any fee on that. This would impose a fee. This would raise, this bill could raise anywhere from two to $3 billion a year to pay for this wall.
Kind of like they want to be PayPal. You know, what do you want to send people? You're going to charge you a fee.
Right.
I got to tell you something. Whether you agree with it or not, it sounds good in theory, does it not?
It does. And, you know,
and I think that was some of your ideas as well.
These were some of my ideas. You know, Trump made a promise. He tries to keep his word on things. He said Mexico was going to pay for the wall, but he keeps asking Congress to fund it, which I thought would end up creating a problem for him down the line if he wants to get
reelected. Well, Congress kind of does approve the funding.
Yeah.
So,
but if Mexico's paying for it, then he doesn't need
Congress. Well, technically, I think what they're saying is it's kind of like, hey, Roger, I owe you money.
Mm-hmm.
Or let's say there's an outstanding bill. I say, hey, Roger, what if I reduce the cost that you got to pay me for a bill next or a salary next week? It offsets itself. I think that's what they're saying right there.
All right.
So it may work. Nancy Pelosi, some have kind of let the cat out of the bag. She says, well, we're not going to get any type of DACA immigration reform passed with the Republicans. She says, this is the reason why you need to elect Democrats. She says, quote, it gives leverage to those of illegal aliens.
We are not going to be able to get it done under the Republican leadership in Congress. We believe that we will have leverage when we win in November. And why that's important? Because it gives leverage to every family, to every mom who courageously brought her child across the desert to escape death, rape, gang violence, and the rest.
Yeah, and what about those that come over to in this country that illegally use identity theft, illegally like MS-13, that illegally come in this country when they could have done it the right way, going to asylum center, okay? So again, well, you know, the women that came over and I understand that. But then again, the question has to be asked if they know where to go and there are points of entry, there's 26 of them here in this country. You know where to go. You couldn't cross illegally. Hello. So she says, we want to give them leverage. I got to tell you, when you talk about abolishing ICE or we need to revamp ICE, okay, for what these are all political purposes out there. In other words, going after law enforcement. When they truly, Trump had promised them, it might have been 8 to 10 years down the road about giving citizenship, but we want to do something about chain migration, want to do something about E-Verify. He said he was willing to compromise. I think the Democrats, if they were so smart, should have called his bluff. They didn't. They really do come across, some would say, as the party of pretty much open borders.
Yeah, they do come across that way. And I wonder whether or not there is that much awareness, and I don't live in Latin America, obviously, whether or not people are aware that you can go to the entry point and claim asylum, or whether or not they just don't know. Maybe that's it. I don't know. I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt.
The special election that the Republicans won barely, which some had said they should have won by 10, 15 points. The Ohio district, still the ballots, still about 5,000-7,000 ballots won't be counted to probably next week. Provisional ballots, some of those of outstanding, which with the absentee. So this is quite interesting. The Republicans have an ad mocking the Democrats. In fact, some of the news media is even like CNN, you're going to hear, and MSNBC, because the Democrats are claiming, well, they did have a victory, but it was a moral victory. You'll hear some of the clips here by saying, well, wait a second, you lost. You were supposed to win. Maybe it is or isn't a moral victory. This is kind of a funny ad. You be the judge.
Close in Ohio 12, but no cigar, at least not yet.
This is a moral victory for the Democrats. The fact that they're this close is a moral victory for the Democrats. Right. You want a real victory.
We got some votes here, all right? So I don't know if it's a moral victory or whatever.
Moral victory. Moral victory.
Moral victory.
Moral victory does not get you an office exactly. In Washington.
Moral victory isn't going to cast a vote here in Washington.
Come November, you need more than moral victories. You're going to need to get better than close in some of these races, correct?
You said this morning there are no silver medals in politics. Yeah,
that's it. Second place gets you oblivion, not a silver medal.
Moral victories do not a House majority make. They've got to get across the finish line of these districts in November.
Either winning seats or you're not. A win is a win.
A win's a win.
It don't matter if you win by an inch or a mile. Winning's winning.
That's the argument being put out there by Republicans. I understand. I agree with the ad. I think some would too. But let's be honest. This was barely a win. And I think this is still, when you look at the analysis, Roger, again, this is analysis now. Mm-hmm. Democrats do have the wind at their back. They may be able to pick off quite a few seats. Right. Winning the House could be within striking range. Remember, folks, the primary races are hardcore more for Republicans. That numbers, you look at the absentee ballots right here in Florida, where it's almost by 10% where they're outperforming the Democrats. But having said that, that depends on the district you live. Some counties have basically nonpartisan races. Some counties don't have any races that appeal to people. Some counties do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's the difference. But when it comes to a general election, it's night and day than the primary, Roger.
Absolutely. And in the Ohio special election that's going on, it's not quite a win, to be frank with you. It just means that the Democrats ahead a little bit by what?
No, the Republicans win.
The Republicans win?
The Ohio special district,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, the provisional ballots are still being counted.
Yeah, even if you cut it 50-50, mm-hmm. the Republican would still win. But I'm just saying this is the numbers of the enthusiasm, mm-hmm. and I think some of the projections were only about 30% of the vote. That number could increase 40-50% in a few months down the road. That's kind of the interesting take that some people should be looking at. Ben Shapiro offers Alexandria Cortez Shapiro from thedailywire.com $10,000 just to come into debate him.
I really wanted to make just a direct appeal to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the future of the Democratic Party, according to Tom Perez, head of the DNC. Ms. Ocasio-Cortez, I'm really excited that you've been elevated to that position, and I would love to have a real conversation with you about the issues. You've noted you think Republicans are afraid to debate you or talk to you or discuss the issues with you. Not only am I eager to discuss the issues with you, I'm willing to offer $10,000 to your campaign today for you to come on our Sunday special. And we can have an hour-long conversation about all the topics under the sun, really probe your belief system. And frankly, if you want to raise charity and we'll do it as a debate, we can do that too. However you want to do it, I am more than willing to talk to you. I would love to have this conversation. So let's make this happen. Let's make America a more civil and interesting place.
I would love to offer $10,000 of some of the Democrat candidates to debate me, but we don't have that budget. I was only offered a budget of $10.
Yeah.
And besides, can you imagine if we give thousands of dollars to the Democrats, they would put it towards charity? But the problem is they are their favorite charity.
Right.
So anyway, oh boy. And we will continue to cover all this as we continue to move along. On your phone calls coming up next at Talk Radio WBOB.
No accidents, no broken down cars on any of the major highways, 9510, 295, and Butler Boulevard are problem free.
Download WBOB's mobile app for free from your app store. Powered by Duval County Judicial Candidate Kimberly Sadler.
Hi, this is Congressman Ted Yoho. Even though we're weeks out from the primary election day, folks have already been hearing a lot of negative ads and false information. I wanted to set the record straight. As your conservative voice in Washington, I've done everything in my power to repeal and defund Obamacare, and will continue to do so. As your conservative voice in Washington, I made the promise to reform our complicated tax system, and we did. As your representative, I fought to protect seniors and veterans benefits, including a 9.7% pay increase over the last 5 years for our military. When Hurricane Matthew and Irma hit, instead of talking about relief, we rolled up our sleeves and hit the ground running, delivering supplies and financial relief in the aftermath. As I promised you 2 years ago, I'll make the tough decisions to get our country back on track. I'll fight for conservative principles and do it without tearing anyone down. Stand with me on August 28th, and together, we'll make America great again. Visit TedYoho.com. I'm Ted Yoho, and I approve this message.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. We were asked a question the other day about a store's reputation and how a customer might judge that. The first thing that came to mind was to look at how long they've been in business. Because if a store or a person is disreputable, that word will get out fast and that business won't be around very long. The second thing that comes to mind for jewelry stores, if the store has been in business a long time, there'll be a lot of folks in the area wearing jewelry from that establishment. And if they sell fine jewelry, you can best bet that those pieces have been shown thousands of times and probably passed down from one generation to the next, and a lot of people have been told where that piece came from. At Underwoods, it's our stated goal to be the best jeweler in the South, not the biggest, so everything we do and carry has to move us towards that goal. And ultimately, it's satisfied customers wearing our jewelry that have kept Underwoods in business since 1928. So come by and see us in San Marco, Avondale, and the shops of Pontevedra.
Does rainy weather make you nervous? Alliant Roofing says that it's time to think about a new roof. Get repairs done or ask about a roof tune-up. Once water seeps into the roof, you have a great chance of costly repairs and mold leading to health issues. Mason Fleming at Alliant Roofing has over 30 years of experience specializing in commercial and residential type roof systems. Call for a free estimate at 237-4700 or 721-7663. Alliant Roofing, Florida State Certified Roofing License CCC 132-8560. Florida State Certified Builder's License CBC 125-7928.
Partly cloudy today, a high of 92. Partly cloudy this evening, 77 the low. Right now it is 77 here at WBOB.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email Ed at WBOB.com.
Your call is coming up next right here on Talk Radio WBOB.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
You get your.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Orange and Riverside counties in California under states of emergency as a massive holy wildfire continues raging south of Los Angeles. That blaze has charred close to 10,000 acres, 20,000 people under evacuation orders. Another big California fire, the so-called Carr Fire near Redding, has now claimed an eighth life. Prosecution expected to rest its case later today, the tax and bank fraud trial, former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort. Now that Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh has met privately with just about every Republican senator, becoming increasingly clear he is encountering little Republican resistance to confirmation in the fall. On Wall Street this morning, stock futures pointing to a lower open. Right now, Dow futures are down about 99 points. NASDAQ futures off 37. More details at srnnews.com.
I-95, I-295, I-10, and Butler Boulevard, all problem-free. We see no accidents or broken-down cars at this time. Partly cloudy. Only a slight chance of rain today and tonight. The high today, 92. The low this evening, 77. And currently, it is 77 here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Florida Democrats had their debate last night at Jacksonville University, claiming that Florida is on the wrong track. With students ready to go back to school, some school districts are advocating shortening the school week to 4 days. And the NFL preseason kicked off last night, but the NFL says its new policy on punishing players that take a knee during the national anthem will remain on hold.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
Before we get to the phones, can I ask a quick question? The National Conference of State Legislatures has an article on their website about the four-day school. There's been a conversation, Roger, going around that some states like California, Colorado, there's mixed results of having a four-day school work week. Is this, I want to talk about this in a moment, is this a smart move for school boards and school districts to go down to? Want to know what you think of 222-TALK, 222-8255. John's been waiting. Hey, John, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Great to speak with you, Ed.
Thank you.
I'm kind of curious, have you heard of the new startup conspiracy group called Q or QAnon? There have been some signs that were in the Trump rallies.
Yeah, nobody knows. In fact, the only people that kind of care are some of the conspiracists out there on the left.
Well, what's funny about it is on the 5 yesterday on Fox News, Greg Gutfeld suggested that CNN aided Trump by reporting so much of what he said that they were thinking Hillary's going to win, we could just report everything, and they actually aided him more than the Russians aided him, to the point where people who are angry about Trump are basically giving him free press while living rent-free in their heads.
Yeah.
So QAnon has even jumped to the extent of saying that Mueller is supporting Trump because he's working and putting his name out there so much. I don't believe it, but I think it's hilarious to watch and how it drives the left crazy.
Yeah, well, interesting. The whole Mueller investigation, you know, real quick, how this has gone back and forth since January about questioning. And then, of course, the Trump crowd says, well, there's a victory for President Trump because now since they've thrown it back, Robert Mueller says, well, maybe I'll limit the questions. I think there's, what, 40, 50 questions. I'll limit the questions. Then it came back and said, no, we're not going to answer it. Well, okay, then Mueller said, okay, I'll allow some in writing. And then, of course, the left says, well, what does the president have to hide if he doesn't want to go in front of them? Even Alan Dershowitz says, hey, you can get how to ask a question. You can get in charge with a perjury trap,
right,
and everything else. Remember, folks, Bill Clinton lied to everybody and said, hey, that's right, I didn't have sexual relations with a young female. But he did have to tell the truth when it came down in front of a subpoena in front of that. Listen, this story is like great for like 40 minutes. And then nobody really cares about it until they find out what's going on with the investigation. So what would you do? Would you sit down with Robert Mueller? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, knowing that they're looking to trap anybody. I mean, remember that they had Hillary Clinton on misleading, but nothing ever happened to her. So the same rules apply to President Trump.
Exactly. And, you know, there's a real concern about what you talked about, the perjury trap, where they can, you know, have professional investigators who are trained at this to get him in a lengthy type of situation, sit down to ask him question after question after question. And if he slips up on one, maybe he didn't recall something accurately, then he's facing a federal crime charge.
More as we continue to move along. The NFL preseason kicked off Thursday evening, but the NFL says, well, wait a second. We got this policy. We want to look tough. Forget the fist salutes, you know, the Black Panther salutes. This was mostly about kneeling down with Thursday night's game. Miami Dolphins players did kneel down. I think there was maybe one or two of the Jags. Okay, smaller amounts, some would say. But the NFL says until we have an agreement, you know, the Players League, the unions, we're going to kind of put it and allow it to remain on hold. Again, I didn't see President Trump tweeting anything Thursday evening. This is something, again, that the NFL players have taken on their own. Again, who's continuing to throw fuel on the fire here, Roger?
It would be the few players, and again, there are very few of them who are continuing to take a knee for whatever reason. It's sending the wrong message. What they're protesting is not how it's being perceived by those who are the angriest, to be perfectly frank.
How many of you have heard about this? Wow, I could not wait to get to this story. The New Mexican compound, New Mexico, it was in New Mexico, by a Muslim-related group. Where, and listen to, this is on CBS and Fox News, listen to this small, quick clips, where the Muslim was teaching kids, according to reports by the police, to have kids, which were being child with abuse, child abuse, to train them for future school shootings.
Details about the jihadi suspect accused of abusing children at a New Mexico compound. Prosecutors say Siraj Wahaj was training them to carry out school shootings. The 11 sick and malnourished children were rescued last weekend from the heavily armed New Mexico compound built mostly
out of trash. And what was going on besides abuse?
Well, we now know that they were training the kids to carry out school shootings.
Revelations about a mysterious compound in northern New Mexico, where nearly a dozen hungry children were found living in filthy conditions. Five adults face child abuse charges, and court documents today now show one of them is under investigation for training children to commit school shootings.
Handcuffed and in a jumpsuit, Siraj Wahaj made his first court appearance this afternoon in New Mexico. Wahaj was charged with 11 counts of child abuse, but court documents show he may have been planning something more sinister. A foster parent of one of the children alerted investigators that Wahaj had trained the child in the use of an assault rifle in preparation for future school shootings.
Now, I like to ask members of the left, if this had been, and again, I'm asking because this is what's been talked about. Mm-hmm. If this had been a white individual, maybe ties to a church, NRA, guns, blah, 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 blah. This would, again, been nothing but the NRA. This, again, had nothing but a going attack on guns. But yet, here are members of the Muslim community. Again, according to the reports, police reports, at future school shootings. I want to know if I'm going to see some of my liberal friends over the next several days talk about this on their Facebook pages out there.
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. And I'm just thinking, what kind of evil person is going to train a child how to commit a school shooting and kill other children? You have got to really be really messed up in the head.
Yeah. I mean, if this had been, this has been covered by the media, mm-hmm. but if this had been much more of a, again, I'm just telling you, a white individual and things that because, you know, they're always claiming that many of these guys are members of the NRA and they're always flooding, the NRA is the fault of everything. Mm-hmm. This would make the news for the next 5 days.
Yeah.
But maybe in this case, it is not. I'm not trying to use race as a color. This is what some of those that listen to the show are emailing me.
Right.
Well, Ed, what if it had been this? What if it had been that? Remember the Thursday night debate at Jacksonville University hosted by News 4 Jackson, the Jacksonville University Public Policy Institute? Kent Justice had interviewed all the candidates, kind of like a town hall forum. I think Kent Justice did a bang up job.
Oh, my goodness. This guy needs to be on network television. He's one of the best moderators I've ever seen.
I mean, truth be told, I think Kent listens to, we know Kent listens to this morning show, because the radio show, as well as the morning show, because he does come on with this quite a bit. But here's the thing. I want Kent, when he comes on later, to just admit he gets his questions stuff in the show. I just wanted to admit that, okay? But he interviewed, and folks, these are the Democrats running for here in the state of Florida. They're all running against Donald Trump. And folks, their big issue Thursday night was Trump, full-blown legalization of marijuana, and of course, going after the NRA. Andrew Gilliam, way to get a load of this guy. He is the Tallahassee mayor. Great speaker, by the way. He says, and he brags. Now, he contradicts himself here. He brags about the endorsement of Bernie Sanders. In fact, Gilliam says he is by far the most progressive one on the Democratic side.
To graduate from college, I am on this stage as the most progressive candidate running for governor, as the only non-millionaire, non-billionaire running.
So he was asked this question as a follow-up. Justice goes, okay, we got these conversations about Democrats. You're being supported by Bernie Sanders. He's not a Dem. He's an independent. He's a socialist Democrat. Since you got this endorsement, how would you label yourself?
Bernie Sanders has endorsed you. He's called you the best person to carry the progressive label forward in Florida. He calls himself an independent and a Democrat socialist. So you've called yourself the most progressive in the race. You did that just a moment ago. What is the difference between a Democrat socialist and a socialist and a Democrat? Explain it.
Well, I can tell you what I believe. I believe that these labels are insignificant when it comes to the everyday lives of people in this state. And so,
So for the most part, he doesn't answer the question. So now listen to what he says about labels. He just called himself a label, the most progressive Democrat in the race. Bernie Sanders calls him the best and most progressive candidate in the race. But when you asked about the differences,
everyday lives of people in this state. And so I realize that these labels are easy to throw on folks, but when you're struggling, when you want to make sure that you can work one job instead of multiple jobs as a way to make ends meet, these labels mean nothing.
Well, I would agree with you on that, but that wasn't the question. The mm-hmm. question was, how do you label yourself?
Right.
He says, I'm the most progressive. He labels himself and then asks, well, what's the difference? Why don't I buy into labels?
I think he realizes that if you call yourself a progressive, you have a better chance of getting elected to something than calling yourself a socialist, at least in the state of Florida. It may work up in New Hampshire.
It's a Republican ploy, right?
And it may work in Bronx, New York, but, you know, calling yourself a socialist in Florida, sorry, you're going to be in political retirement soon.
A guy to look out for, Chris King, who is a bold progressive on his bus. So I was there Thursday night covering the story with in the audience. Chris King, listen to what he says on the Democrats not having a positive message.
A company that pays living wages and full health care. And I'm running for governor believing that the Democratic Party, if we are going to win, has got to offer new, fresh ideas and demonstrate the political courage to change Tallahassee.
Can I ask the question, what is the Dems' new message offering political courage? What is the political courage, Roger, that the Dems need to take? Is that the Medicare for all?
Or it could be recreational marijuana for everyone. I don't know.
It's not recreational marijuana anymore. Well, it is. No, it's now it's full blown. Well, I guess yeah. It could be. But, of course, they can't tell you how they want to regulate it. Folks, let me ask you this question. If the Dems need a new message, what is the new message compared to the last message over the last several years?
Yeah, I don't know. Very often you use these line, new messages, and that simply the line itself sounds good.
That my experience uniquely qualifies me to run in a party that has not done a lot of winning in the last 20 years, a party that has not cast, in my view, a big vision for politics.
Now, he's exactly correct, but listen to what he says. He blames the NRA for flooding guns and ammunition in this state, which is causing all the shootings. He also says in order to pay for a lot of the school security and everything else out there, I mean, he brags about, first off, before I get to that, he brags about the success of the economy. He says it's great that Florida doesn't have an income tax.
One that's aspirational and inspirational, and that's really been what my candidacy has been about. No, I would not say that. I would suggest that Florida, part of our competitive advantage is a low-tax state. But I think it's irresponsible for any leader.
He was asked about the question about raising taxes.
To suggest that they can predict the future. I believe it's a great thing we don't have a state income tax, and I wouldn't want to change that.
But he says when it comes to the issue of many, how do you fund certain things, schools, he says what we need because of the NRA, quote, we need a bullet tax.
And I have suggested that I am not a tax and spend liberal. I'm trying to demonstrate how I pay for everything I'm talking about. And what Latasha told me when I met her is what parents across the state tell me, that they are terrified, but they're also tired. They're tired of the little politics that does not stand up to the NRA. So I am so proud that it was my candidacy that I presented what has been called the most ambitious idea for gun safety. That's what I call the Every Kid Fund for Gun Violence Prevention, which is a bullet tax to protect children, because the NRA is flooding our state with ammunition and guns, and I believe they bear responsibility.
I didn't realize the NRA was a bunch of gun raiders.
I was going to ask you, does the NRA sell guns? I don't think they do they?
Nah, I don't know.
That's
I think they, of course, they advocate it, but killed by association. But we're going to have a bullet tax, an ammunition tax. Can I ask a question? What percentage? Some liberals want to do it at 50%. You think you're going to get a bullet tax passed? I don't think so. I like the two key word. We're going to fund schools education. We could raise $40 million, he says, with a bullet tax. Want to know what you think? More as we continue to move along. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Is that the new bold progressive freshness that he says the Democrats need is now just, I mean, ammunition tax? We've heard this before.
Mm.
Yeah. Not that some of the Republicans, they sometimes could go with some, I mean, they always talk about bold, fresh, new ideas. They just never vote in favor of, like, the fair tax and stuff. So I want to know what some of you think at 222-TALK. 222-8255. That's the way they say we need to secure funding for schools. We could have a bullet tax. Want to know what you think. Your calls, questions, and comments. Love to hear from you this morning. Coming up next, right here on Talk Radio WBOB.
If you're on I-10 going east, you'll see a broken down car right at around Stockton. It is on the right. 295, 95, and Butler Boulevard are all problem free.
Hi, this is Matt Caldwell, and I'm running to be your Commissioner of Agriculture. During my time in the Florida House, I was an unwavering supporter of our Second Amendment rights. I wasn't afraid to stand against my own party, especially when they voted to put restrictions on those rights. I fully support our constitutional right to keep and bear arms. As a life member, I am proud to stand with the NRA, and I'm even prouder to have their endorsement in my campaign for Commissioner of Agriculture. I'm Matt Caldwell. I stand for my principles. I will not back down. Scare tactics won't work with me. The Commissioner of Agriculture oversees our concealed weapons program, and you can count on me to protect that program from liberals who want to tear it down. To those liberals who are determined to destroy our Constitution, I will be there to stop you. I'm Matt Caldwell, and I'm asking for your vote. For more information about my campaign, please visit my website, votecaldwell.org. Political advertisement paid for and approved by Matt Caldwell, Republican for Commissioner of Agriculture.
Gentlemen, if you believe your divorce case deserves a reasonable investment in your future, then you need to visit divorcemenonly.com. I'm attorney Kenny Lay. Some people invest in a quality HDTV, others invest in a quality automobile, and many invest in a quality 401k. But when it comes to your divorce case, is your future also worth a quality investment? If it is, I encourage you to visit us at divorcemenonly.com or come visit one of our law offices in Jacksonville, Fleming Island, Ormond Beach, or Gainesville.
For more than 25 years, the potential for health improvement is seen with each patient that walks through our door. Healthcare decisions don't have to be confusing. Make Island Doctors your medical practice. Island Doctors cares about their patients.
They got my blood pressure off the ceiling, my thyroid off the floor.
Call us today to schedule a tour of one of our locations near you and take a peek at our best wellness program. And welcome home.
1-877-434-4676.
WBOB is your election authority. The Florida primaries take place on Tuesday, August 28th. WBOB will cover the election results starting at 7 p.m. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, and other special guests will be on hand to follow the results and talk to both the winners and the losers. Your vote matters. Follow how it affects the primaries. August 28th, starting at 7 p.m. WBOB.
Partly cloudy today and only a slight chance of rain. A high of 92. Tonight will be partly cloudy. Overnight, the low 77. Right now, it is 77 at WBOB.
Laura Ingram next at 9. Dennis Prager at noon on Talk Radio. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. With students ready to go back to school, some school districts are advocating shortening the school week to 4 days. The NFL preseason kicked off last night, but the NFL says its new policy on punishing players that take a knee during the national anthem will remain on hold. And Florida Democrats had their debate last night at Jacksonville University, claiming that Florida is on the wrong track.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed at wbob.com.
Don't forget to follow us on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/WBOB or don't forget to download the radio app at wbob.com. Let's go to Philip. Hey, Philip, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Good morning. Thanks for the great show. You know, there's
Thank
a
you.
Very interesting. Sure thing. There's a very interesting thing that happens with school shootings. As far as when there's a bad school shooting, which I'm going to call successful, meaning it's a negative situation. But in other words, the perpetrator is successful in a school shooting. It's obviously big news because people die and it's terrible. But when there's an unsuccessful school shooting, which happened in the last week or so, there's video online. I'm driving, so I don't remember where it was. But there was a back-to-school event, and a guy pulled out a gun, and a bystander with a weapon shot him. You can hear people running and screaming, and you can hear the shooting on the video. It's not covered because it didn't happen. It's essentially like proving a negative. In other words, so it skews the debate away from the fact that if people have guns, they can stop a school shooting because, one, it never really happened. I mean, it happened that they stopped somebody, but it's not big news because
right.
a bunch of people were killed. And the other part is it doesn't fit the narrative of the liberal media, so it's not covered as much anyway. But people can go online and see this video in the last week of this school shooting where somebody stopped the disaster, but it really wasn't covered at all.
Right. Philip, if I'm not mistaken, it was here in the state of Florida.
Was it?
I think, Roger, can we find that out? I think it was here in Florida.
Okay.
I saw the video where they interviewed a black individual who, you know, because all the Democrats and unfortunately members of the state legislature here on the Senate and on the House side here in Florida, those of like the black caucus are all calling for, repealing of Stand Your Ground laws. And they interviewed a black gentleman who says, man, thank goodness that guy was there. He probably saved some lives.
Yep. And it's the fact that this is a solution versus, you know, gun controlling, you know, obviously there could be some combination. It's not like just one or the other. But the fact that this is a solution is never highlighted because it doesn't become news when it's not a quote-unquote successful shooting. You know, in other words, when it's not a big event. And then every time there is a big event, it's covered like crazy, which, of course, yeah, it should be. So it skews the whole debate. There was also something not long, maybe a year ago, where a guy, and I think it might have been a church shooting where a neighbor got a gun and had a gun and killed the guy or followed the guy.
Yeah, it was an NRA firearms instructor. Yeah, good to talk to you this morning. Thank you for the call, Philip. Roger, if I get a chance, I'll look it up. I think, I thought it was in Florida, what Philip just said. The incident took place, a back to school, whatever it was, and it didn't make a lot of the news. I mean, it made for about maybe one, maybe half a day, but a guy with a concealed weapons permit was able to stop this. If you can find it,
I'll look, but
we can do that. Doesn't matter if we find it. Philip's point, it doesn't fit the narrative. If it's successful, again, somebody stopping a gun individual, someone trying to use guns as to hurt somebody. Remember, he brings up a valid point. Remember the Sutherland Springs out of Texas last year? Was it a local Baptist church, church,
right,
where they killed several individuals and he ran out and the guy who nailed him that led to his death because of the shooting was a neighbor who was an NRA firearms instructor, and according to the reports, shot him with an AR-15.
And was able to prevent more tragedy. Unfortunately, the shooter had to, you know, get shot too, but he was the one who started the whole problem.
So, school districts saving money. Now, we always hear about school districts wanting to spend your money, but we've talked about a lot of ideas, Roger, for better results. In the 90s, it was, okay, do we shorten school days? Do we lengthen the school days? Also, the big argument is year-round schooling. Does year-round schooling work? Then we came to the 2000s. Do we lengthen the school days? Do we shorten the school days? Again, that debate came up. Do we need to cut electives? Do we need to cut certain areas of the arts? They're always trying to find a way to improve education. According to the National Conference of State Legislators on their website, more school districts could wanting to opt out of the 5-day school week and go to a 4-day work week. This area is happening in a lot of rural, smaller counties and a lot of urban communities as well. 560 school districts in 25 states have one or more school days on a 4-day schedule. Now, a lot of these are located in Oklahoma, Colorado, Montana, Oregon. They say that the pros and cons. Proponents of the 4-day school work week say that it would save money.
Right.
All right, save a few million. That attendance would improve. Parents and teachers can schedule doctor's appointments and other weekday commitments for Fridays rather than school days. District administrators can also claim that the appeal of a 4-day work week would help recruit teachers. But listen, we know many of those that listen to this radio show work for 4 days. I think the majority of people love to work for full day, you know, 10-hour full day. 10-hour, 4 days.
Right.
And take three. Heck, I'd love to have that. But anyway.
Yeah, so 10-hour, 5 days or six,
right,
like me.
The opponents, Roger, you don't work enough here. What are you talking about? The opponents argue that the longer school days are difficult for students, particularly in elementary grades, that 4-day school weeks can also pose a challenge to families who are unable to find affordable care arrangements for the fifth weekday. Some would say that the results are mixed, but some schools have sat back and said, hey, we'll help pay for the care. Now, the question is, what's cheaper? To put them all in school that day or to cover the cost care for, no offense, babysitting out there? So let me ask you this question. At 222-TALK, 222-8255, we're always trying to find ways better to improve education. I mean, heaven forbid we should teach basics. So we need to go further down the road. I'd like to hear from you. If you're a teacher or you send your children to whether it's a private school or to a public school, I'd like to hear from you. Do you think a 4-day school work week would be more beneficial for the students and it could save maybe a couple of million dollars for the local school district? But are the savings minimal? I'd like to hear from what you I want to know what you think. What do you think, Roger?
I'm concerned about students being unattended, unsupervised. They say that the hour between 3 o'clock when the kids get let out of school and when the parents get home, when they get off at 5, that's when all the trouble happens. This is when the teen pregnancies
happen. What if they're unsupervised on the weekends?
Very often, most moms and dads are off on Saturday and Sunday.
All right. But what if they're not? Just, I mean, not all.
I think that that's also a dangerous time.
So maybe we should have school 7 days a week.
Maybe.
Wait, there's this Sunday school on Sundays.
Right. I think it should match the parents' schedules.
Want to know what you think. Is that a smart way to go? Yes or no? I mean, I don't really... I can see the pros and cons of this, but I want to maybe more in the pro favor. I want to know what you think. A 222-TALK, 222-8255, Talk Radio, WBOB.
I-295 north of Duval Row, the broken down car is blocking the right lane right now. And 10E starting at Stockton, Cassett to Stockton, we're seeing backup there this morning.
Paid for by Kimberly Sadler for Duval County, Judge Group 8.
If you believe that protecting our Constitution is at the heart of our legal system, then you can trust judicial candidate Kimberly Sadler. Accomplished with years of experience fighting for justice and fairness in our courtrooms, Kimberly Sadler has dedicated her legal career to ensuring the law works for all citizens of Jacksonville. As a former division chief in our public defender's office and serving with distinction in private practice, Kimberly Sadler is a uniquely qualified candidate with both private and public service. Experienced in litigating thousands of cases here in Florida's First Coast, Sadler will bring a high level of competence to the bench with the kind of professionalism that's rooted in our values and the Constitution. Proven to be trustworthy, fair, and honorable, let's vote Kimberly Sadler for Duval County Judge.
As a doctor who provided medical care to remote islands, Dr. Ben LeBrow has seen some things.
Piracy, hurricanes, being struck by lightning.
While most of your clients can't relate to confrontations with pirates, they get the idea that life and work come with a certain amount of risk, but their retirement shouldn't. Dr. Ben purchased an annuity to secure a guaranteed monthly retirement income for life, so his money won't stop working when he does. Find out how annuities have changed at retireyourrisk.org/advisors.
Transmission problems? Call Action Transmission Specialists on Merrill Road, where you get the work done right the first time by the experts. I'm Robin Sidbury, the owner. Our techs can service all makes and models, and we provide a nationwide warranty, so you have the peace of mind knowing we solve your transmission troubles fairly and honestly and guaranteed nationwide. Call us at Action Transmission Specialists on Merrill Road, where quality counts. Get traction. Call Action at 744-0755.
Partly cloudy today and warm. We'll have a high of 92, only a slight chance of rain. This evening will be partly cloudy with an overnight low of 77. Right now it is 77 here at WBOB.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
All right, we've got to go to just a quick top of the hour news break. Those of you on hold, I'm going to take your calls right away at 904-222-8255. And we'll, I think we found out what the school shooting was. It kind of took place with the shooting for the back-to-school sales. So we'll get to all that coming up next. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson on FM 101.1, AM 600, Talk Radio, WBOB.